Greetings, friends. On our last program, we talked about sin and the fact that sin sucks life out of the soul, leaving us with death. And we specifically talked about Satan's sin in the Garden of Eden, which was lying. He lied on God. He said that God was a liar. When God said to Adam and Eve, "Do not take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you take of it, you're going to die." Satan said to Eve, "That's not true. You're not going to die. God is a liar." And so Eve, unfortunately, believed him. She took of it and she ate. Also, of course, Adam ended up eating. But specifically, what sin did Eve commit? Why did she take of that forbidden fruit? Which one of the commandments of God did she transgress? As you remember from previous programs, if you've tuned in, that sin is the transgression of the law. And the law is defined by the commandments of God. So again, which sin did Eve commit? And the answer is, Eve lusted. That was the sin she committed. Eve lusted. And lust is a transgression of the 10th commandment of the law. Do you know what the 10th commandment is? It says, "Thou shalt not covet." Thou shalt not covet. That's kind of a ancient term, but it can be translated, "Thou shalt not lust." Let's turn over now to Genesis, the 3rd chapter, in verse 6, and we're going to see how God describes Eve's sin. This is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food," and this is speaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the one that God specifically commanded Adam and Eve not to eat of. Said that you could eat of every other tree, but of this one tree, do not eat of it. And what happens? "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food," that's first thing, "and that it was a delight to the eyes," that's the second thing, "and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise," that's number three. And I'm going to repeat those. When the woman saw that the tree was, one, good for food, two, a delight to the eyes, and three, a tree to be desired to make one wise, when she surmised those three things, she then took of the fruit and ate it. And then what does she do? She turned around, she gave some to her husband, and then he ate it. So she must have decided in her mind that she wanted something more than she wanted the Word of God. She must have wanted something more than what she thought God could give to her. That's what lust is all about. It's this craving, this desire to have something that's a sinful desire, because it's basically saying that God cannot supply our needs, that God is not good enough. God will not do. There has to be something else out there that's better. That's what she surmised. And whenever you start to devalue God like that, then you can start to push God aside, to say, "God is not worth the time. What is worth my time is following after this pursuit, or that pursuit, or that pursuit." And in Eve's mind, the pursuits were something that was good for the food, something that was a delight to the eyes, and something that was able to make one wise. That's what she was lusting after. She did not believe that God could fulfill all of her needs. What Eve turned to was the world to supply her needs. Instead of turning to God to supply all of her needs, she turned to the world to supply her needs. We can see that from 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. This is in the first book of John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Now notice that this passage in Scripture is going to exactly parallel what Eve went through. There's nothing new under the sun. So when the Apostle John was talking about the sins that are in the world, he boiled it down to the same three things that Eve fell prey to. She said she saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eye, so it was pleasant to look at, and she thought it was going to make her wise. We all fall prey to those same three things because of the lust that's in our flesh. That's our nature, is to want to be fulfilled by something other than God. So let's read in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. God is warning us through John, don't love the world. That is a mistake. We have to love God. And you cannot love God and love the world, because this world system is designed by Satan. Satan is considered the God of this world. That's what the real God, the one and only true God, called Satan, the God of this world, of this system, of this way of thinking and of acting, of relating to one another. It is Satan's world. He's the one that's created it and built it up. So it is opposed to God. And God says, don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, it's not talking about the people. It's talking about the system. Don't love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the Father's love isn't in him. For all that is in the world, and he's going to name three things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's number one. The lust of the eyes, that's number two. And the pride of life, that's number three. All of these things that are in the world, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. So let's go back and compare Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6 with the passage we just read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. All right. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. What sin does that correspond to? What lust specifically? As described in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, this one corresponds to the lust of the flesh. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. John describes it as the lust of the flesh. It's that lust, that desire to fulfill the needs of the flesh, the needs of the body. It could be through food, it could be through sex, it could be through lots of things that please the flesh. But that was a problem, the lust of the flesh. Also, John says, the lust of the eyes. And that's compared to, obviously, when Eve said that this tree was a delight to the eyes. In other words, we fall into this temptation of everything that we see, we want it, thinking that amassing wealth and great possessions is going to give us some kind of fulfillment. And we just lust after maybe the newest and biggest car. We lust after the biggest house with an indoor swimming pool that's heated. We lust after all types of things that we see that we believe are going to bring us fulfillment. And then the third thing that tripped Eve up, that trips us up also, is the pride of life. That's when she said that this tree could make her wise. In other words, she thought that God was holding something back, that if she just took of this tree, that she would be exposed to all kinds of knowledge and have all kinds of wisdom to know how this was done and how that was done. And yet God was willing to reveal everything to her that she needed to know. And that's the same thing with us. God wants to reveal everything that pertains to eternal life. He tells us how to get along with Him. He tells us how to get along with other people. He tells us how to get along with nature. And yet we have to go about doing things in our own way. That's the pride of life. And God says that the world is passing away with its lusts, but he who does the will of God remains forever. Did you catch that? The world passes away, lust passes away, and consequently the people pass away, which means they end up with death. Now let's listen to a witness to testify to this fact. This is in James. James is our witness. And we're going to turn to James chapter 1 and verses 14 through 15. Notice this process of how lust leads to death. This is in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15. But each person is tempted when he or she is drawn away by his own lust. Something entices a person, and they're drawn away from God, drawn away from realizing that God is our everything and will fulfill all of our needs. But we're drawn away, just like Eve was drawn away from God through Satan's temptation. So when a person is drawn away by his or her own lust, we are enticed. Then lust, when it has conceived, bears sin. It's like a fruit that comes out of lust. It becomes sin, and that sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Now let's see the manifestation of this sin of lust in modern times. Did you know that there is right now, today, slavery in America that emulates, or emanates, I should say, from lust? And this would have to do with the lust of the flesh, but also with the lust of the eyes, and also with the pride of life. Now, this is a quote from the San Francisco Chronicle. It says, State Department officials said the Bush administration vowed to combat what is called a fast-growing, modern-day form of slavery. A lot of people trafficked in the U.S. are trafficked through Mexico from Central America, said Elizabeth Pryor, the senior State Department official who organized a special conference to look into this. She said the problem is worse on the West Coast, which is more accessible to Asian traffickers than on the East Coast. Enjoying rare funding from Congress, the conference gathered local law enforcement officials, activists, and advocacy groups from 113 countries to devise strategies to fight human trafficking, which the United States estimates could involve as many as 4 million people worldwide, half of whom may be children. Estimates are that 50 to 75,000 of those children are brought into the United States each year. We are seeing a big influx from China right now, from very, very poor rural villages where traffickers are buying the young women or kidnapping them or telling them that if they come to the U.S., they're going to work as domestics. That's the lie they tell. But this article goes on to say, we're also seeing Cambodians, Vietnamese, people from Thailand, children from Mexico, and some from the former Yugoslavia and former Soviet Union. And these people are lured into prostitution as children. And it is said that once the women are in the hands of the traffickers, their visas and passports are taken away. They're often raped and abused right then or on their way to the various countries of destination. And they're told that if they don't work in prostitution, they will be killed, their families will be killed, and that they have a huge debt now that they have to pay off. And experts and victims say women and girls are often beaten, starved, isolated, and raped into submission. Escape is difficult, if not impossible, because they often do not know where they are, do not speak the language, and have no travel documents. The problem has grown as cheap air travel, the internet, and porous borders have combined with poverty and political upheaval in poor nations to produce a lucrative sex industry estimated at $7 billion a year. And experts say it is aided by attitudes in rich and poor countries alike that see buying and selling women and children as acceptable. And that's because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you can see how this sin of lust sucks life out of the soul and leads to death. Because literally, many of these women and children that have been sold into this sex slave industry have ended up either being killed or dying of disease, or they have committed suicide. This is how sin sucks life out of the soul and leaves us with death.